Prologue, Part 3. Alistair. Alistair gripped the profusely bleeding wound in his side with one hand, and used his staff to support himself with the other. His shadow magic had gotten him off the roof, and down here to his radio studio. Now he just needed to hunker down tight and stay safe. That fight definitely could have gone better. Of course, it could have gone worse. He was still alive, even if he was bleeding out. All Alistair could hope now was that Charlie was successful. Also, that he wouldn't fall dead before this violence was over. This was no way for the legend of the radio demon to end. He watched through the window of his tower as Vaggie and Lute fought on one side of his window, Lucifer and Adam on the other. First, Vaggie fell. He wouldn't miss her, but the poor dear Charlie would be beside herself once this was over. Of course, that would make her far easier to manipulate. His train of thought kept getting broken due to the agony in his chest where the axe had lain him open. A wave of dizziness hit him as he struggled to cope with the blood loss, and he blinked. Adam getting pushed around in the air by Lucifer, then his little girlfriend leaping to the defense, and he blacked out for a couple of seconds, maybe a minute. But when he blinked awake, he saw something that made him forget the pain and injury. Lucifer was laying there next to Charlie, completely still. Alistair was too far away to make out all the details, but he knew that stillness. One only would remain that still when they were never to move again. Lucifer had lost. The devil was dead. That did not bode well. Not well at all. He had to get out of here. Had to escape, back into hiding, whatever. But he knew he had to get away. He stood, but his legs only had the strength to push him drunkenly into a standing position. The radio demon felt his weight buckle them in an instant, and he fell forward onto his face hard, groaning and failing to catch himself. He rolled over and whimpered, pulling into a sitting position and dragging himself into a swivel chair. Lucifer dead. Vaggie dead. Charlie would probably be dead too, and even if she wasn't, she wouldn't be able to get to him in time. Was he panicking? Was this what panic felt like? It had been so many years since he was truly, actually worried. His heart was beating faster, and he realized how bad of a situation he was in. His mouth felt dry. He tried to reach for the mug on his desk, but only spilled the cold black coffee across himself and everything else. He was sweating, and as he saw more of his lifeblood spilling, it only caused him to get more anxious and thus bleed faster. He cursed himself for not keeping a first aid kit or anything of the like in this room. But, of course, the thought of him being injured had been laughable until a little while ago. His suit. He could still tear his suit. With alarming difficulty, he managed to rip a few scraps off of his suit to try to staunch the wound. They were too thin. Not enough. But he tried anyway to tie them fast and stop the constant spilling of his life onto the floor. It was ruining his rug. His head was starting to hurt, and for some reason, his clumsy fingers couldn't seem to figure out how to tie fast a knot. Then he realized. All he could hear was static. Where had sound gone? A minute ago, he could still hear the screams and chaos of combat from outside. But now? Now all he could hear was a buzzing in his ears. He didn't realize when it had happened, but suddenly he seemed to go from sitting up, wavering, trying to tie makeshift bandages, to staring up at his ceiling. Apparently he'd fallen out of his chair. This was it. He was going to die. Die for real. The cut from Adam's blessed axe head had done something to his wound. Usually, sinners could recover from the worst of injuries with little trouble. But this was a cut from angelic steel. Adam's own angelic steel. It wouldn't heal. Not without time and care, the old-fashioned way. Time he did not have. Someone to care for it, maybe, but none in a position to help him. None even to know where to find him. No, this was it. The end. As the radio demon began to accept the fact that he was going to die here, The failures of his past began to weigh on him. He could have at least enjoyed the last 7 years if it hadn't been for that damned Sin Mother. Maybe if he hadn't been the mighty radio demon and was just a sinner like anyone else, he could have hidden away on this day of violence and survived. But he'd reached for the top. His fingers had brushed the stars. But alas, he still had fallen. Fallen down from his height to this. Dying for a dream that never could have lived, and not even his dream. Here he lay dying for the dream of a royal tot, with all the kindness of divine angels, and all the realism and awareness of a blind schizophrenic. The headache that had first just been irritating was now excruciating. He tried to lift his hands to run up his temples, but they wouldn't listen. He groaned, actually felt a tear on his cheek as the room began to spin and spin and spin, the white noise getting louder and louder, a ringing in his ears becoming all-encompassing. Alistair didn't want to die. He really didn't want to die. He was scared. He couldn't remember the last time he'd really been scared, but he was. His last thought was of Mother. Dear, sweet Mother, he missed her. She'd never known what happened to him. He'd never known what happened to her. But he wanted to see her again. Just once. Then awareness ebbed, and he lost his grip on consciousness. The fireflies floating in the dim twilight were especially beautiful this evening. They moved gently through the air, watching in awe as they seemed to defy all properties of motion. Like little will-o'-the-wisps, he'd read about in old stories. Spirits of the marsh and bogs who would lead travelers to safety, fortune, or to their doom. Alistair felt the adventurous urge only a boy of 8 years old could have, as he imagined leaping up to his feet and chasing those floating little lights through the woods. The wonder of what he might find, the thrill of seeing ghosts and spirits. He wasn't scared. Alistair wasn't afraid of anything. He was a smart boy, and a quick boy. Ma was always telling him so. But as he turned his shoulder and looked over at his family's little one-room shack in the bayou, he felt the urge of adventure recede with the distant, yet distinct smell of his mother's jambalaya wafting down to him from the open window. Adventures were fun, but his stomach was grumbling, and brave storybook heroes didn't go off into the unknown on an empty stomach. As he got closer to his home, he heard voices through the window. Ma and Pa. They were fighting again, and he felt his heart sink. Why were Ma and Pa always fighting? It didn't make sense. Alistair loved them both. Why didn't they seem to love each other?
Shep, please, there's gotta be something we can do to—
I ain't gonna hear that there nonsense, woman!
His father's voice cut through his mother's, sharp and furious.
There ain't nothing can be done. Weevils done ate the crops. No more work in the fields, so I done gone to uptown in the city and seen if I could've got work there. And they's laying off everyone because of all the people leaving. I go down to the docks, and there ain't a job to be found there neither. We're down to pennies. We gotta get a ride. Gotta go north. There's work up north. That's what you hear from every fool and drunk this side of Norlands.
Shep, please, we ain't got the money for but one of us. I got an idea anyhow.
His mother's voice was soft. She sounded scared. Alistair wanted to go in and comfort his ma, to hug her and tell her he loved her. That always made her smile. He was scared, though. Pa was in a fury, and when he yelled like that, he got scary. He didn't want to get hit again. It hurt so bad last time. And when Ma tried to defend him, Pa'd hurt her, too. He'd cried all night and tried to talk to his dad in the morning, but he was always gone. Pa always left really early. Came home late with a few dollar bills to thrust at Ma for the market, if he ever had anything at all.
What?
His father's voice finally replied after a long pause, sounding as if he'd just taken a long sip of something.
There's a way I can make us money, enough at least, for the boy. I don't want to, but we're at the end of our rope, and A lot of ladies older than me make good money in this city, and I can't bear to send Al to bed hungry. I just...
A ringing slap made him cringe, and he hid under the windowsill, listening yet not daring to go into his home.
Honey, please don't!
Another slap. His mother wails this time, and he begins to cry. He wants to go in there and stop it. But what if it makes his father mad? What if he hurts them more? He should just wait, right? Just wait and hope it's over soon.
You fucking whore! How dare you propose such filth!
Well, maybe if you could keep a fucking job, I wouldn't need to...
Another slap. Another scream. The tears were running freely down Alistair's face now. Why was Pa so cruel? Why was he so angry? Didn't he know that they loved him? They were supposed to be a family. All the books he read had happy families. Why wasn't his the same? He closed his eyes and covered his ears with his hands, waiting for it to be over. After a while, he opened them again. It was black. He couldn't feel anything. He couldn't see anything. Was this it? Was this death? He'd prefer to be back in that memory, even one as unpleasant as that. He hadn't been a child in so long, so why was he remembering that? He couldn't remember the last time he'd thought of anything having to do with his mortal life. But now, here, at the end of all things, the end of his journey, all his schemes ended, all his dreams of dominance and victory of hell, gone in smoke. And he didn't care. In that moment, he just wanted to hug his mom one more time. Distantly, very, very distantly, he heard a voice, very indistinct. He couldn't make it out. Then it was a little louder. And a little louder. Now he could hear words. Was it her? Was it mother?
I don't know. What the fuck you mean you don't know?
He's lost so much blood, Adam, I don't know if even Raphael's gifts can save him.
Adam. Adam. Adam was there?
I want the funny deer guy. I want him, and I'm going to take him, and he's not going to be any fun if he's dead.
Sir, is it really a big deal if he...
Alistair opened his eyes. The light was bright, blindingly so. But eventually he adjusted and looked at his surroundings. Clouds. Rainbows? Blue skies? What the... He hadn't seen any of these things in almost a century. Where... was he?
Hey, look, he's awake! You did it, Emily!
I guess I did.
Alistair turned his head and groaned. There before him, there was an angel in a blue dress with dark, brownish-gray skin and bright blue eyes. She smiled at him, and he saw she had one of his hands in hers.
Welcome back to life!
She said, beaming with pride, and apparently having healed him. Then Alistair's eyes shifted to the right, and he saw Adam with the biggest shit-eating grin on his face, and his lieutenant staring down at him with crossed arms and a sour expression. Her tunic was still stained with Vaggie's golden blood. Alistair reached up and felt the cold metal shackle around his neck. Perhaps it would have been best if he had died after all.